Am I on?
I am.
Thanks, Taya. Didn't she do a great job? This was a proud moment for like, she's just so amazing to put herself out there and be willing to host a room of people. And we love you, Taya. My name is Bronwyn. I'm just going to get this set up, sorry. And I need my people who are reading my story to come up now. We're going to have a bit of story time because who doesn't love a good story? I don't care if you're 2 or 82. Everything is better with a story. So, who's number one? Who's number two? You can come stand right next to Saul. Who's number two on their page? Corey, awesome. 3, 4, you're 3, 4, awesome. Oh, Solomon, hello. Madison, awesome, come on up. What number are you? 5. Go down that way, I think he's number 4. So I want you to use that imagination that Anushka so amazingly talked about and allow yourself to relive this story that we all know so well, the story of Noah's Ark.
This is a story of Noah, a righteous and blameless man who walked and talked with God. The world and people in it were all messed up. There was wickedness, pain, darkness, hopelessness, grief, sickness, anger, and violence. Wait, are you sure this isn't the story about today?
God saw that apart from Noah and his family, all people on earth hardened their hearts against God and the life God had given them. So because of that, why does it look like my face?
We need to hear you. You hold it. You hold it. You hold it.
So because of the world's bad choice to reject God, God told Noah to build an ark, and he promised to protect them, so Noah obeyed God's voice and believed in a promise.
Thanks. Just wherever you want.
God was so detailed and gave Noah a huge download of exactly what kind of ark to make. He told him exactly what size to make everything and how to put it all together. God thought of all the little details that Noah never could have dreamed of. Noah did not have any idea what a flood was, but Noah clearly heard God telling him to build an ark. So Noah obeyed God's voice and believed for the promise.
God told Noah that he would make a lasting covenant, or promise, with him, and that through Noah and his family, every living creature would be saved. Every living creature. Can you imagine all those creepy, crawly, scaly, whaley, furry, weary creatures that the ark must have held? Noah was surprised, excited, and maybe even a little nervous, hearing about everything that God had planned. But Noah obeyed God's voice and believed for the promise.
Noah worked hard for a long time building that ark with his family. When Noah was 600 years old, the time came for all the animals to board the ark. All the people were settled in their places, and the place was packed full to the brim with all the supplies they would need for the biggest adventure of their lives. They were as ready as they could ever be, but it was God who decided when the door would be shut and the heavens would open with the rain. So Noah and his family listened and obeyed God's voice and believed for the promise.
When the rain came, it rained and rained and rained and rained. Did you know that there were even giant fountains coming up from the ground, gushing with water? For 40 days and 40 nights, the rain came down and the flood came up. The whole earth was covered all the way up to the highest mountain, so that nothing was there except the little ark full of Noah and his family and all the animals. They floated around like that for 150 days. That's more than 5 months. I guess Noah and his family experienced the first ever lockdown. But even still, Noah obeyed God's voice and believed for the promises.
Finally, the rain stopped, the flood started to go down, and eventually the ark stopped on a mountainside.
They had to wait another 10 months for all the water and the mud to keep going down and for the grass, trees, and beautiful things to grow again. Noah first opened up the ark and let out a raven. It went flying all about. Then he sent out a dove, but the poor dove couldn't find anywhere else to rest, so it came back all puffed and tired. Noah waited 7 days and sent out another dove. This dove was gone all day, but she came back with an olive leaf in her mouth. So Noah knew that things were starting to grow again. But Noah waited to go out from the ark until God told him, "Come out from the ark. Bring out every living thing that is with you of all flesh, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply." Then Noah obeyed God's voice and believed the promise.
Noah built an altar to the Lord and made an offering to him. When the Lord saw the altar made for him, he smiled and was so happy and blessed by the offering of worship. The Lord said, "I will never curse the ground because of man's evil heart. I will never flood the earth again." And God blessed Noah and his sons and told them to be fruitful and multiply on the earth. God also made a promise with Noah and gave him a beautiful display of the biggest, brightest, most colorful rainbow as a sign of this promise. God assured Noah that every time God saw the rainbow, he would remember the everlasting promise between the Lord and the people and the creatures of the earth. God and Noah continued walking and talking together as the world began again, fresh, all because Noah obeyed God's voice and believed in the promise of God.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, guys. So the story of Noah, I'm pretty sure even if you've never been in a church building before, you would have heard of this crazy story of Noah and his family. How many of you have seen Evan Almighty? Pretty sure it's a little bit different than that, but that moment in his word where he promised Noah was way back before Noah had no concept of what was going to happen, right? But again and again, Noah obeyed God's voice and believed in his promise. And we get to learn and study and grow because of his faithfulness and his story. So let's just pray a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come and open our eyes anew, if you've heard the story 100 times or for the first time, and to really speak to our hearts. God, thank you so much that you're here in this place in this morning. Thank you that we can have childlike faith and imagine life with you and learn from these awesome stories. I pray that you would just bless this morning. Open our eyes to you and what you have, and may you just guard my words and my heart against anything you don't want said. Amen. So, these kiddos told this awesome story, and some things as I was preparing for this morning that stood out to me straight off the bat was in the very beginning of the story. If you want the story in front of you, you can open your Bible to Genesis 6. The very first chunk of that verse is that the whole world has gone kaputs, but Noah and his family found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And there was righteousness and blamelessness in his generation. I just think that's so, so amazing that, A, this is old covenant, right? Like, we like to think of righteousness as a new covenant thing, but let's just remember that God saw Noah as righteous and blameless too. I wasn't going to even say that, but it's just like, come on, like, this is something that God has woven throughout history from the very beginning, and I think we should let our ears be pricked every time we hear that word and let it sink in. So Noah and his family were righteous in honor, and God saw them through the lens of this, through the lens of blamelessness and beauty that he had created. God delighted in his people because he created them for a purpose, and that's the same for us. That's the same for us today. That idea of finding favor continues throughout history in this thing called, like, life. through all the awesome people and stories of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and and into us in the new covenant that we live with him. I think if you've been around our church for a little while, you would have heard Liam, Dean, everyone talking about the covenants of the Bible. We have five main covenants. We're going to put our Sunday school hats on and get participation. What's the first? Solomon, go. Abrahamic. Who's got the second one? Noahic covenant. The third one is Mosaic, Moses, and his epic beard. That's how I picture him. The fourth one is King David, and the fifth one is Jesus, the new covenant. That's right. The Bible, it's always the right answer, guys. It's always the right answer. We keep coming back to this idea of the covenant in our church, like all the different kinds of covenant, because God keeps coming back to it. And God is still held accountable to it. And if you want to learn more, go listen on YouTube. There's a couple of series things on it, and it's really great. It shifts your perspective on how you view the stories of the Old Testament and brings it to life today. A covenant. If you are a kid, you might not know what a covenant is, but you all know what a judge is, like a judge with a mallet. Can you all get a mallet in your hand? Yep. When that mallet comes down, knock, knock. That is sealed, signed, and delivered. And the covenant is, from then on, they have to follow the rule, right? Whether good or bad or whatever it is. So that's the very basic understanding of what a covenant is and what we'll go with today. Noah, I feel like, oftentimes doesn't get a lot of spotlight time when we talk about, like, the covenant, because we're like, oh, great, we won't have a flood again on the earth. And woohoo, that's all that we kind of think about. But Noah's relationship with Jesus is so, not Jesus, sorry, with God, is so deep and so meaningful. And his faithfulness sets him apart, like, as this man that walked and lived life with God when literally the whole world around him was scoffing him and mocking his name. If you think about it, Noah walked diligently with the Lord before Noah heard God's promise for his life. It wasn't like he suddenly met God and then started walking with him. First of all, Noah was a descendant, I think he's like 7 or 10 generations removed from Adam. Some theological person can correct me on that at the end. But his great-grandfather was Enoch. If you don't know anything about Enoch, Enoch is this epic old man who literally was just like talking with God and then poof, he was gone. He just bypassed death and went straight to heaven. Like, that is Noah's heritage and that is Noah's lineage. And his family was amazing. And yet, the whole world around him, all his maybe cousins, nephews, nieces, I don't know, all his extended family had turned against him and scoffed him and mocked him. Another thing I found interesting that, like, I definitely took 2 cents for myself is that Noah was a church kid. Noah didn't have an epic testimony in the sense of he was, like, stuck in darkness. His family was, I don't know, abusive or all this stuff. And he still had credibility and weight in the kingdom. I had to really check. I had to learn as I was growing up to check my heart, because I used to feel like, oh, man, like, someone asked me to share my testimony, and I'm like, my beautiful family is sitting right there. And they were the ones to make the first step toward Jesus when they were young. And they laid a foundation for my life of the faithfulness of God. Do I still need to make that choice on my own? 100%. But there is something to be said about being able to look back and have their hands on my back supporting me in that. And, like, I'm not taking away from people who have walked out of darkness either, because we have a new father and we have a new name and we have a new line. But, like, don't discredit your credibility in the kingdom because of your testimony. So, God called out the favor and righteousness in Noah's family. Noah listened to God's voice and obeyed the promise. I think it would just be really good to remember that even though everyone was calling out against him, he still responded towards them and towards God with the right heart and the right attitude, when it would have been very, like, he spent 100 and 10, 100 years building this ark. Like, that would have been a very long time to have your next door neighbor like wailing and, you know, like I'm sure some of you in the room have a neighbor that's just like, huh, I love them, Lord. That's a long time to remain faithful to Jesus or to God. I want you to put your thinking caps on again. We didn't read all the details of the ark, but like the cubics and the all the things that the ark was told, like that God told Noah to build the ark was so specific, so detailed, and he worked so hard with so much excellence and craftsmanship. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'll meet the bar that God has set. Like he worked hard and pushed his body to the limits. I mean, you think about this old man with his sons. I mean, they didn't have drills and drivers back then, I'm pretty sure, or a table saw or anything like that. They would have pushed their bodies harder than they would have likely ever pushed it in their entire life. And there is a man, Dave Ramsey, if any of you have heard of him, and when you think about like money, finances, how many of you set a New Year's resolution at the beginning of the year? Anybody? Oh, two of you. Wonderful. We're already to like the end of January. Have you kept with it? We all have. We can. Sorry, I'll come back to Dave Ramsey. I'm sorry. Just leave him over there. He says that finances is 80%, 20% knowledge and 80% action. So when it comes to things like weight loss, finances, all this stuff, you could have read 100 books, watched 1,000 YouTube videos. Like I've been hanging out with Hannah this week. We watched the tennis. How many of you watched the tennis this week? Yes? And I learned what you're supposed to do on the court and how it all the deuces and all these different things, advantages. I know a lot, right? A little bit. But my knowledge would make me look like a fool if I stepped out on that court. Like, if I were to start opening my mouth and going, I know this, I know that, blah, blah, yeah, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. My body would not cooperate because I haven't put in the hours and the time to push through and pursue the action and attitude that knowledge requires. So if we compare that with this idea of hearing God's voice, obeying his voice, and believing for the promises, information is 20%. Action is 80%. I do not want to cheapen the gospel. I'm not saying that the gospel is something that you have to then keep striving for. The gospel is pure. It is the way that Jesus came to save us and rescue us on the cross. Thanks, guys, for getting that out. That moment with Jesus on the cross, repent and believe and you shall be saved, right? Believe that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Son of God. That moment, that is the only thing that you are required to do for salvation. But like, that's just the spark. That's just the start of this entire life that you get to walk and talk and live life with God. And it's a roller coaster, don't get me wrong. I'm sure with this many people sitting in the room, like, you've all walked through things. Whether you're living a life with God or not, you've walked through things. And it was the faithfulness of God and the amazing reaction and action to God's voice on Noah's life that didn't just save Noah from this disastrous worldwide flood. It actually infused within him this burning desire to do it with excellence. And then after that, to not only be like, I got out of the boat, praise the Lord, like, whoo, we made it. No, he immediately went and worshiped the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord and worshiped him and waited on him again and again. Even when like the boat landed on him, he was waiting on, listening to the voice, listening, waiting for him. And I think sometimes we let our ideology, our philosophy, our theology kind of cloud our ears, or they dampen our ears sometimes to what we actually need to then step out and do. Because the Bible is an amazing book. And I, throughout the school holidays, like we worked with the kids on memorizing some verses that correlated with the sermon, and they were awesome. And I love memorizing scripture. But I'm not memorizing scripture so I can get a lolly at the end of church. I'm memorizing scripture because I want it to renew and refresh my mind in a way that will dramatically transform this relationship with God and my relationship with others. It's important to know the word. It's important to know that 20% as well as we can, right? Renew your mind in the word daily. But unless I allow that to actually transform my mind and to live out the promise that he has said in his word over all mankind or in my heart to me or from other people, like, unless we actually take a step, we're kind of limiting the way that God wants to use us. The amazing thing about free choice, when I was in high school, my Sunday school teacher was like, if you had a little Barbie doll and you pull the string and it says, I love you, right? Like, how much love do you feel from that doll? You know, I mean, maybe the littlest ones do, I'm not sure. But like, because of free choice, we get to choose to say I love you to God, and we get to choose to react and engage with his promises in our life. But we can also choose not to. And God's not going to force us. God is a gentleman. He might do some things to like, hello, are you listening? Like, wake up. But at the end of the day, the ball's in your court. And he's not going to push you over the edge unless your heart is in a place where you want to actually do what he has called you to do. We all have amazing, amazing things that we're passionate about and awesome information that we know. I actually want you to think about the things that you love to learn about in the Bible, because all of us have different strengths. All of us have different like abilities that God gave us. And he really has instilled that within you for a reason. Don't be like, oh my word, I know all of this about Exodus or Leviticus, I don't know, whatever. Like, that's not a wrong thing. Use that to fuel your response for what God has laid on your life for the kingdom. Because we need you. we need what you have in here and in here. And it is so, so, so exciting to step out of the 20% and into the 80% and to walk with God, to obey his voice, and to live in the promises that he has for you, for your family. When I think about the promises and the words of God, we like to use the word, hey, I got a word. If you're not from this church culture like I was like, what do you mean a word? It's like, you know, this either an impression in your own mind from God, or it's someone else going, hey, I really saw God, like I felt like God wanted you to know this. Those things are amazing. You feel great in the moment, and it's like, thank you, God, for seeing me in my exact location, right? My exact moment, whether I'm on a high or a low. Thank you for seeing me. And you get that word. And hopefully you journal that word or you record it on your phone. But what do you do then? I love to do that. And I think it's a good practice to do. But how do we take those words and transform them into actions that we can practically take when we're wearing 100 hats like mom and teacher and daughter and student and all these different things? Take them and obey them, because like we don't necessarily make an ark of 100 cubits and have this much water and this much food and these many animals will come to you. Like, we don't always get that specific, right? Excuse me. I think one thing we can do is we could actually just pause and listen and get creative. There is, there's not a wrong way to do it. Sometimes I think we like to be like, oh, I don't want to look like I'm striving to do something for God when I know he's just like called me to do this and I shouldn't have to like work or earn my salvation. I don't know if I'm communicating that very well, but I think there's this, we like to do this balance of faith and works. And in my own life, I've gone like, wait, God, do you want me to do this? Or is this me like working really hard for my salvation? What am I doing? Like, but I love you. And how can I do this? That's an answer that only you can answer with God. But don't be afraid to test something out and go, oh, after doing that thing for a week, a month, whatever. Oh, okay. Now it's changed. Now, at first, it was a great place in my heart of doing this reaction to what God has placed on my life. But now I'm just doing it because I have to. And that's okay. We like to test things out with the Lord, and he'll go put more fuel on the fire and go from there. If you're someone sitting in this room who has never necessarily received a word from God directly or from someone else, maybe you're visiting and you're like, I've no idea what this lady's on about. There's some words that are pretty concrete in Scripture. One of them that I decided to highlight today is Hebrews 8, 10, 11, and 12. I would highly recommend, if you're sitting here going, I don't know what the Lord has called me, I don't hear from God. Hebrews 8, 10, 11, and 12 is a beautiful picture of what God has promised that he will do in your life. He has promised he will do this with his people. And we're just going to read this a second because it's beautiful and it's the word. This is the covenant that I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor to say or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. This is a very simple, he says, I will write the laws of the Lord on their hearts. They will be my people, and they will know me. It won't be he said, she said about God. It will be they will know me. And finally, he says, I will remember your sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far as your sins from me. But God, if God's forgotten them and you're still struggling with them, then maybe we need to do a bit of a reset in our mind of like, hang on, why am I bringing this up over myself? Of like, am I really forgiven? Because he's already forgotten it. Those are just some practicals that if you want to go to those places with the Lord and go, do I really believe that he's written it on my heart? Do I believe that I know him? And do I believe that I am forgiven? Because those are promises. if you are a person who has words, like pictures or whatever, I found this yesterday when I was cleaning or the day before, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do this with them. so this is a picture that I got when we were hanging out in youth in October, I think, out there. And we were just worshiping the Lord outside, and God spoke to me about trees. He said, come away with me to the trees, rest in me, be sheltered in me. I want to be stuck all over you like sap on a tree. My mother can attest to how many articles of clothing I ruined while climbing pine trees in my childhood. I used to love climbing this tree, and I would sing from the top of the tree and talk to just anyone was there. And I was just reminded of this moment, and I was like, I sat out there, and I was just like, oh yeah, God. Like, I used to love climbing the tree, and I don't think I knew it then, but I was getting alone with him in his presence. I was just singing and worshiping him and playing and dreaming. And so I did this word back in October, and I felt really awesome, and I was like, oh, I think Solomon was leading that day. I was like, that was so special. I love that. Thanks, God, for that reminder. And I just found it, and it is January, and I hadn't done anything with it. I hadn't gone and climbed a tree, although I did look at a few. I didn't actually get up there in the tree. I was like, wait, God, you want me to climb a tree? I'll climb a tree with you. The reason I'm telling you all this is because we're going to just do a little bit of an activation today. Because like any good Sunday school, you got to get up and move around and do something with what I just word vomited all over you for the past 20 minutes. because you have the time now, do it now, okay? If I was you sitting in your shoes, I'm the kind of person that loves to just get a cup of coffee, sit down with the Lord and my Bible and my journal and take all this time to just pause and wait and think. I'm pretty sure you're not going to do that when you get home, especially if you got kids. Like, it's okay if it's a short and sweet, simple, doesn't have to be a whole journal page. Just something to take away from today to go, God, this is my action step. So my action step to go with this that I wrote down during worship, because I was like, oh, Lord, help me do something with this and take action, listen to your voice, obey, and believe for this promise that he has declared over me. It was just to spend a moment with God under a tree. Maybe I'll climb it. Maybe I won't. Because there's power in unplugging and not having any distractions. You could do a whole, like, you could be more specific than that. I would encourage you to try to be a little specific, to hold yourself accountable to what you want to do. This little cross here is a fun, we're going to pass out. I don't know where she, oh, she's there. Thank you, Jen and John. We're going to pass out post-it notes and a pencil, and we're just going to take a moment together to reflect on, maybe you have stuff on your phone, maybe you have your journal with you. We're going to take a moment just to go, hey, God, what have you told me before? Or what are you speaking to me right now in Hebrews 8, if you've never done this before? That you want me to walk out of these doors and do. It can be, could I have that slide, Liam? I put these up here because I wanted to help you out. I've had like 3 months to think about this, and you've had 3 minutes. Some things that you can maybe take action on are your words. Words you speak to yourself, to others. Rhythms like time, what you do with your day. Action steps again, like for yourself, for others. Your time, your talent. Maybe you have something to give back to the Lord with your life and your talent. Those are just some prompts up there. Use them or don't. We're just going to take a moment once these are passed around. And when you're done doing that, I just want you to come and... Oh, I didn't actually test this out. Wouldn't that be sad if it didn't work? Stick it. Oh, no. Okay, stick it. Stick it on the bit of wood. It's a bit textured, so just be careful. Anywhere on the cross that you want. And commit to the Lord to listen to his voice, to obey the promise that he has declared, and to rejoice in that when it is fulfilled in your life. Like, because it never stops, and it keeps coming. And Noah's life from that moment was forever marked and changed, and we're still living in that promise. So, if you don't have a pen or a pencil, they are coming, and the post